listener production.
As she's gone to brake, her foot, instead of coming off, has got stuck down on the accelerator. And we have just gone through the roundabout as a car's coming. And then at the end of the roundabout is just a concrete wall.
Our guest has already indicated how easily something can go wrong. We are not dancing with the stars here, but what you do on the pedals, how fluid you are on the pedals, how important they are in the car, and what you do every day as you head off to drive is the subject of today's episode. Hi, everybody. I'm Rusty.
And I'm Lisa.
And welcome to the second season of Keep Your Wheels On. Myself and Lisa are back into it once again with more stories of real people talking about the mistakes that either resulted in them crashing their car or narrowly avoiding a situation that could have been much worse. And we'll be joined by a bunch of experts too, rally drivers, hospital staff, driver trainers. We'll get some familiar faces back and some fresh voices too. Before we introduce our studio guest today, Lise, this is all about the pedals. When you are teaching the young ones about that, when it comes to drive school and so on, what sort of things are a part of the curriculum, a part of the course?
So one of the first things we like to do before anybody gets in a real car is we like to put them through drive school, because nobody should be sitting in the passenger seat with somebody who doesn't know what pedals what. And pedals are actually a very important part of driving. And we like to give them a little bit of practice in a safe and controlled simulated environment before they get in a real one.
Someone who does it professionally and went on to win the Bathurst 1000 in 2017, he's a star of the Supercars Championship these days, is David Reynolds, and he's in the studio with us today. Hello, young man. Welcome.
Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it. Hopefully I can dispel some wisdom.
We know you can.
Why are we laughing?
Yeah, I've got no wisdom to dispel. That's what's going on.
The reality is you do, because for a job, for a profession, you are required to have both split-second decisions, delicate touch, and have this intuitive understanding of exactly where your feet are on the pedals and how to apply them the right way in the right moment, aren't you?
Exactly correct, yeah. So our skill over almost 30 years of my life is how I use the pedals and the steering wheel combined to make the most lap speed. It's sort of a refined sort of thing you start doing as a young kid, and then you get older and into cars, and there's a clutch and a brake pedal and accelerator pedal with lots of horsepower, and it's all about managing the pedals below you. So I really resonate with the first story we just heard, because I've crashed many cars that way too. Back in 2004, I was going for the Formula Ford Championship, and I had a test day at Winton in motor racing in the Formula car. You're trying to go from the throttle to the brake as quick as you can with no roll time, and I was practicing that out on the track. And down at turn three at Winton, it's a downhill right hand corner, about, you know, third gear corner, relatively fast in a Formula Ford. And there's no runoff, which I found out on the other side of the track. So I've jumped off the throttle pedal onto the brake, accidentally slipped off the brake and gone onto throttle pedal again, and accelerated myself into the fence and wrote the car off. And one of my best mates at the time was there, and we've dragged the car back to the pits, and he's standing there holding a beer, and he's like, he's looked at the smashed car and he's gone, expensive test day.
Yeah, that wasn't a good day at the track.
No, so I've been a victim of the slip on the pedal.
but you're usually good at pedals, because they've always got, so often when you see the supercar coverage, you've got a camera on your pedals.
Yeah, so there's only one car in the category that has that pedal cam, and that's the car 20. So that's your husband's car and my car.
Yeah.
We need to establish that, because Lisa's husband works with you, doesn't he?
Yeah, Richard Holloway, we collectively know him as Krusty.
He's not my husband.
Legend.
He's not. Oh no,
legend.
Sorry. Well, like, it's the same in my situation. I'm not married to Han, but yeah, we've been together that long. We've got kids. She can ruin my life if she leaves. So
yeah.
Yes, we're pretty much married.
You can sense that this episode is going to have a little bit of fun along the way, but still with a serious message. Right, so why don't we circle back to the point of our conversation? It's about pedals on your car. It makes the car move. It controls your speed. It allows you to stop. So being aware of them is incredibly important. The accident that you heard at the start is, believe it or not, because of a simple oversight involving those pedals. Let's meet the person who was involved in that crash.
G'day, this is David, and I was a passenger in a car that was in a huge accident when the driver got their foot stuck on the accelerator. The car that I learnt to drive in was Mum's to begin with. They did end up helping me out buying a car. That was a 1984 Toyota Corolla that was the brightest yellow you have ever seen, known as the Canary. And it would start one time in five. I used to have to park it on a hill so I could clutch start it to get it going most of the time. My parents taught me to drive to a point, but then I did have a driving instructor. Would I consider myself to be a good driver? Oh, no, definitely not. Whole family is actually not great at driving other than the old man. My sister's had more accidents than I can remember. She got banned from taking her test for 6 months because in her driving test, she actually went the wrong way around one of the biggest roundabouts in our town. So, like, it actually was incredibly hard to do. The driving instructor tester made her pull over, wouldn't let her complete the test and said, don't come back for another 6 months until you've got more practice. My mum hit a car pretty hard and it was a pretty bad one where she got some bad whiplash for, had to be in one of those neck braces for like 2 months. I've been in a couple as well. Once we were at a party and there was a kid in our school that everyone was really jealous of because his parents bought him a WRX. He was reversing it out, just didn't look behind him, and has just driven directly into my car. He was going pretty quick for being in reverse. Thankfully, the 1984 Toyota Corolla was like just a box, just nothing would break it. The WRX, on the other hand, was pretty dinged up, so that was another one. It was in a pile-up on the M1, guy broke in front of me, I broke it, stopped just short of him, but then a car ran into the back of me and then it was like six of us just bang, 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 all into the back of one another. Thankfully, everyone was okay, no one injured. There was actually one other when I was back, I was would have been 19 or something. I was driving Mum's brand new car after I'd been out the night before, and this was the day after having one of the biggest nights of my life at that up until that point. And so I was a bit hungover. I wasn't really with it. I'm driving along. Fox or a rabbit or something jumps out, and I've swerved, which is apparently what you're not supposed to do. You never swerve. I've swerved and hit like a little median strip island and punctured both tyres on the left-hand side of the car. You know, I drove for a little bit to try and get off the road. There was no way really to pull over, so I tried to drive a little bit further, but I was just driving on the metal rim. So, yeah, I really stuffed the new car. So I was in the bad books for a while. But, yeah, no, as a general rule, family of not very good drivers.
There's quite a bit to unpack from this, and I don't know where to start.
Why? I got a couple of questions.
At least he's honest.
Yeah.
You wouldn't want to jump in with any one of them.
They admitted they're a bad driver. Like,
but don't you find this? Everybody says they're a good driver. Like, if you're a crap golf player, you're happy to say I'm a crap golf player. But everybody thinks they're a good driver.
And why is that?
I don't know. My best friend, he used to always say, I'm a great driver. I've never had an accident, blah, blah. And I used to always say, Steve, you've probably caused plenty and you wouldn't have even known about it.
Well, more than failing an exam or something like that at school, it is clearly something people struggle for others to know about them. If they're considered a bad driver, or that's why they talk themselves up, I think.
I don't really get it.
This story is obviously a little bit different to others in our series, right? And we might be making a little bit of light around it, but we hope that helps the cut-through of some of the messaging we're going to give you today, Rod. It sounds like at the top there that he's, David, our storyteller, is not actually the driver, that he might be in the passenger seat, right? So how terrifying is that, being the person in the passenger seat, knowing you're about to crash and you have no chance to try and do anything about it, no control of that?
I think that would be one of the scariest things ever, watching something unfold in front of you and you have no control over it. Like,
knowing it's going to happen.
Luckily, in my household, I'm always driving, so I'm always in control. So I've never been in that situation.
Race drivers don't make good passengers, though, do they?
We are the worst passengers. I've been on a few like hot laps, like in our supercars and Carrera Cup cars before, and I hated it. Absolutely hated it. Because everyone drives, this is quite odd, but everyone drives slightly different, ever so slightly different. So what you're expecting from when you drive is slightly different to what they're doing. So it sort of creates this, like, I don't know, this oddness in your brain that you can't quite, this uneasiness of driving around a track. It's not what you expect. And I thought everyone drove very similar. So when I do laps with people, I expect a similar sort of experience, but it's completely opposite. It's a horrible experience.
Let's delve a bit more into David's story now. I think we've established that he doesn't sound like he's the driver, right? So let's hear a bit more about what happened in this incident.
The accident where I was a passenger, I'd normally give my colleague, we carpool home, like I generally drive them home every day. This one day I didn't have my car for whatever reason, I forgot what it was, I was in the shop or something, and she said, oh, I'll pick you up today as a thank you for dropping me home every day. I'm like, right, that's what a lovely thing to do. So it's the first time that she'd ever picked me up. And so she picked me up, we're driving to work, and there's kind of this weird off-ramp where there is a bit of a blind spot. It's not quite around, it's like a triangular roundabout, if that makes sense, but a big one. So you kind of can't see sometimes the cars coming on your right-hand side. So she's coming down this off-ramp, probably doing, I don't know, 50 or 60 k's an hour. She was probably going too quick for it anyway, but then as she's gone to brake, the wedge of her open-toed shoe has got jammed, and so her foot, instead of coming off, has got stuck down on the accelerator, and we have just gone through the roundabout as the car's coming. We have absolutely T-boned this bloke, and he's just gone flying. Like, this car's just done full 720, spun around a few times, and then at the end of the roundabout is just a concrete wall, and her foot was still stuck. And so after hitting this guy, he probably saved our life, to be honest, because when we hit him, we slowed down a little bit. We hit that car, and then for a split second was the relief, like, oh, at least we've hit the car. But because her foot was still on the accelerator, then we sped up again. And I was like, uh-oh, there's a wall coming. Just gone bang straight into it. But had we not hit him, we would have hit this concrete wall at maybe 80, 90 an hour or something like that, because her foot was to the floor.
That sort of leads us to footwear, right? I mean, clearly not the right shoe choice. Lise, what about, you know, the legalities around that? What people are meant to wear? Race drivers like David Reynolds wear special boots with a minimal sole, which gives them great contact with the pedals, great
feeling,
feel for the. But I mean, thongs, high heels. I mean,
there's no legalities around it.
I thought there was.
No.
Which is mental. That is crazy, right?
I thought there was no thongs. Like, you're not allowed to wear thongs or...
Well, not to my knowledge. I did look it up, and I'm positive that I couldn't find any actual legalities. There's recommendations, obviously.
Yeah.
But you guys might or might not know, it's not great wearing heels.
I have never tried that.
We'll take...
You know, you may have whatever, but I can tell you firsthand, heels are not good for driving, even platforms, because you don't have any feeling. And when you're in a pair of heels, it's like you're on your tippy toes, so you haven't got that position right, and your legs, you know, your foot's just not, it's very weird. So I wouldn't actually recommend wearing heels, but if you're going to take them off, don't keep them in the...
In the footwell.
In the footwell.
That's a bad idea. Very
that's a bad
idea.
David, you're a family man. What do you wear when you're on the road with the kids in the car and so on? Is it simple, just nice runners?
I just wear normal shoes, or if I've got thongs on, I always take them off and put them in like the side pocket next to you and just run bare feet. Well, is that legal?
Yeah, it's fine.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah. But so I actually know a very famous race car driver who actually during the race kicks his boots off and drives in just his bare feet.
Really?
Yes. Doesn't that get hot?
Yeah, it does. It does. It gets really stupid and hot, but he's very, very good at it, and he prefers to drive that way.
How common to you both do you reckon this sort of incident is? I mean, David's talked about it happening in some testing. It's happened in this incident at a roundabout for David, our storyteller today. Does this happen? I mean, I can recall learning to ride a motorbike for a first time and grabbing too much throttle rather than, you know, than brake, and that sensation of it wanting to get away from you because you'd accidentally put too much input into the throttle when you wanted the exact opposite. If you've chosen accidentally, slipped off a pedal and hit the gas, that's frightening, mate, because your brain is going, I'm trying to stop, but in fact you're inducing power, you're inducing acceleration.
And inducing panic.
Yes.
And that's what most people do in that situation. They panic, so they freeze. So if they've jumped onto the throttle and they're not expecting to accelerate, they freeze and they start accelerating harder and harder and they don't know what to do. So yeah, it's a very tricky situation. I've been guilty of that, not on the road per se, but mainly on the racetrack. And I've accidentally passed cars that way and made positions. So it can work in your favour from time to time, but most of the time not.
Not on the road.
Not on the road, definitely not.
This is a road safety.
Yes, road safety, yes.
Quick tip then, what should people do? They accidentally do that. What should they do? Don't panic.
Yeah, get on the brake, realise what's going on, take your foot off if your foot's stuck on there, you've obviously in the wrong footwear. So that's one thing you need to address before you get in the car, wear the appropriate footwear. Don't panic. Just brake the car straight away. I don't know, you're allowed to left foot brake? You are? Because if you're jammed onto the throttle pedal, you just jump on the brake with your left foot to try and like pull the car, arrest the car's speed. So
at any point, if you're going too fast and you're going to hit something,
stop it.
Yep. Get on the brake and hit it as slow as possible.
Yes, 100%.
Now, a little footnote to this before we circle back to the story, right? If you've got pets, use proper belt systems for the pets. You can get harnesses for them that go around their back and chest and so on, and you run the seatbelt through those.
So same as like if you've got like a bag of oranges on the back seat and then one falls off, it can roll forward and end up in your footwell and under the brake pedal and you might not be able to stop.
If you've got a pair of shoes that you've removed, right, do what David Reynolds does, chuck them in a side pocket or pop them in the boot, something along those lines. You don't want hazards around the pedals in the footwell. That's really important.
If you've got young kids in the car,
yep,
throwing balls.
Yes.
I had actually a tennis ball thrown in the footwell.
And it always gets lodged under the brake,
the
most dangerous part. It never gets wedged under the throttle, does it? Never. It's always under the brake.
Yeah.
And if that brake pedal has reduced travel, if it can't go the required distance, that means you can't stop properly. Simple, right? Let's get back to David with the story now.
Both airbags deployed. I don't know if you've ever seen an airbag deploy. There's like this, looks like talcum powder or something. But I thought in the kerfuffle that the car was on fire and there was smoke, like because it kind of looked a bit smoky. It all happened so quick. It was like you think that you could do anything different. Like you run the scenarios over your head, like, oh, should have I grabbed the wheel? Should I pull the handbrake? Should have I, you know, like there's all these things that you think about after the fact. But I was like, are you okay? To the driver. She looked at me and said, are you okay? And I was very certain that I'd broken some ribs. I looked behind us at the car that we'd hit and I was like, I better check and see if he's okay. So get out, run over to him. He gets out. He is fuming, like he just gets out and he's like, I got this car yesterday. It was like a brand new Kia Sportage or something, but it was like brand new. It was like literally one day old. That's how long he'd had it. And so he's starting to like arc up a bit, and then he sees my colleague get out of the car, and then he can see like her face. She is like the whitest person you've ever seen. She's pale anyway, but she's almost see-through at this point. She's like, I could not get my foot off the accelerator. As hard as I was trying, I couldn't get it off. So when he saw her, he calmed. He went from 100 to 10, and then he's like, no, I'm okay, I'm okay. And then she came over and said, I'm so sorry, it was all my fault, blah, blah, blah. And that seemed to calm down a bit. But the car is totaled, so it was completely destroyed. Like the front end was, you know, it was considered a write-off. And then after the accident, I went to the doctor, just told him what happened. He said, unlikely that you've broken your ribs, you're moving too well. But I'd actually cracked a rib on the other side playing football and it felt exactly the same. So went and got the x-ray, two cracked ribs, and the driver had the biggest bruise that, like, apparently she bruises easily. She was rattled incredibly, and we both had some pretty bad whiplash for the next couple of days. So, you know, the day of the accident wasn't that, like, I felt fine. I could move around. Other than my ribs, I was a bit, I would wince in pain every time I'd laugh or yawn or whatever, but the like my actual shoulders and neck and everything was fine. But then the next day I was like, oh, and the day after that I was like very stiff and sore. But the driver, her leg from pretty much hip to ankle was just blue. Both pretty lucky. Like I say, had we not T-boned the guy, I think we were in some trouble, but I think the T-boning the guy probably saved our life a little bit.
Can we come back to some things around essentials, David, right? Like you've talked about the kind of footwear that you would use if you're going on a family road trip and so on. What are the other things that people need to do so that you're comfortable and safe when you're in the driver's seat there? Talk seating position for us, being able to reach the pedals properly and how you set that and so on.
Yeah, there's many different things you need to sort of make yourself comfortable in the car, but also in a funny way, safe and more effective in that position. Seating position is important. Don't be too close to the wheel, because if you're too close to the wheel and you're in an accident and the airbag goes off, you'll be in a lot more pain. Things like that, you can reach the steering wheel, you're not too far away, you're not, you know, it's how you manage yourself in that position and manage the car itself. So what else can you do? You know, there's always, you know, check your tire pressures. These days, you know, cars have infrared tire monitor sensors, so you can actually do it in your dash without even getting out of the car. Makes it really easy.
Come to clothing then, for example. I mean, are baggy pants an issue around pedals? Are dresses maybe a little something that we need to think about?
Know anything about that, David?
Does it get wrapped around your brake pedal?
Know what I mean, right? Like, you know, I'm
yeah, possibly. Yeah. Like maybe, I don't know, Lisa, is there dresses that are too long that can get caught in pedals and things like that?
It's not happened
to you,
to
per
me
se.
Personally, not. But I was actually really interested in, you know, he was talking about after the accident how the other bloke got really narky.
Yeah. I would too if someone just drilled me from
your brand new car.
Yeah, I'd get out and I'd be fuming too.
But aren't you an advocate for curbing road rage?
Yeah, well, like there's road rage, I suppose, and that's like if someone accidentally cuts you off or things like that that, you know, you shouldn't really need to react to. If you're late to an appointment, you know, you tend to like be really aggressive on the road when you don't need to be. So I've actually started this anti-road rage campaign called Curb the Rage, and I started it 2019, and then obviously in 2020 everyone stopped driving for a long time, so we're getting it back going again. So, you know, I've always had this perception of, you know, Aussie drivers on the road, and that's all I knew growing up. And then I was lucky enough to travel to different countries, especially like Italy and places like that, and you go driving around their countryside and everyone's so relaxed and so friendly and they let everyone in and there's no hassle, there's no qualms.
And a lot more traffic,
exactly right. So, and then you come back to Australia and everyone's aggro and aggressive and cutting people off and tooting their horns and abusing people, and I'm like, this is just silly. Like, so we've started this program called Curb the Rage to try and change the Australian perception of how we use our car on the road today. So hopefully that'll be a good thing and we can keep it going and have a nice, happy, safe place for people to drive in. Because it's a very daunting thing when you first get your license, and if you have like a really bad road raging experience, which the study shows about 93% of people have, it can deter you from driving for forever. So it's still early stages, and I've got to go to Parliament to do a little presentation about it. So, you know, to see if they want to back it and get it a real life program. So
it's a really good idea because,
yeah, it's,
I mean,
great.
Especially for learners and P plate drivers, because, I mean, they do actually cop quite a bit. I mean, they will get bullied.
Yes.
You know, people immediately go, oh, you know, P plate, oh, what? You know,
old people driving around, you're like, oh, why is this person going so slow in this? In this old Volvo box car with a straw hat on the back, it's like, no, I'm just joking. That's very stereotypical. But then you go up to them, and it's like, oh, they're just old, trying to get
and
manage their day.
And does it matter if you're going to be there 20 seconds
exactly
later?
Right.
Or
exactly right.
Does it matter?
Not at all. So that's one thing we try and talk about is leave with much more time than you expect to get there. So, you know, manage your day around being early, being on time. Actually, don't be on time, be early. If you're on time, you're late. So,
well done, mate. That's great that you're pursuing that. It's actually given us a thought about a topic, a theme for a possible episode in season 3 of Keep Your Wheels On. So hold that thought. Can we come back to the matter that we're dealing with here today, right? What if your pedals aren't working properly? What should listeners be aware of if the brake has gone what you guys in racing call long? It means that the brake's
long travel.
Just run through a couple of those sort of things for us.
In motor racing, we talk about having a long pedal. So when we jump on the brake, if it extends longer than you think, that means you have either older brakes or air in the system or air in the ABS unit or something like that. So, you know, you need to go get them checked out, measured, possibly get your brakes bled, new pads, new discs, whatever it might be. Brakes are actually the most important part of the car. That slows you down. That's the safest part. You know, any other part of the car could fail and you'll be okay. But if your brakes fail, you're in a world of trouble. So brakes are fundamental, the key to any safe car.
Absolutely.
Accelerator, throttle. What if it is holding revs or sticking, as you call it? That can be highly dangerous too, can't it?
It sort of doesn't really happen in road cars, but every now and again it can happen. Mm. So if your throttle is, like in a manual car, if you were to shift between, if you were to sit in neutral, just say, and the engine's still idling high, obviously you've got some sort of issue, whether it be engine tuning or the throttle cable might be sticky. You know, these days they're all electronic throttles, so, you know, that doesn't happen anymore.
That happened to me when I was about 19.
Oh, like it would have been a cable-driven.
Yeah.
Yeah, in an older car. Yes.
In an older car, and perhaps, maybe. Yeah.
I had a friend in the ute with me. It was one of the automotive company cars, and literally the speedo just going faster, and I genuinely had no idea what
to do. You weren't touching it.
I wasn't touching it. I had my foot on the brake, and I've pulled into our driveway, and we had quite a long driveway. It was an acreage, and I've pulled into this driveway at probably 60 k's an hour, and I had no idea what to do. So I just sort of went, oh, and I just turned it off.
It's actually the best thing you can do right there.
I made sure I didn't turn it all the way, so I still had some steering. But I just turned it off.
That is actually the best thing you could do if the car's over revving or it's you know, the throttle's jammed, just turn it off, because that cuts the engine.
Yeah.
And you'll just come to an arrest.
From what you've heard of the story so far, what could someone in the passenger seat do? What would you recommend they do? I'm not a big advocate of someone trying to take over from the driver, but should they intervene? What should they do you reckon?
Well, if they can see the situation going on, if the throttle's stuck, if it's an auto car, just bang it in neutral. Just try and take all the momentum out of the engine.
Should they grab the handbrake? I think you said that before. Should they grab the handbrake? Is that a good idea?
If they can. Sometimes that can end up worse. But
yeah, depends on who's steering it.
Yeah, but these days cars don't have handbrakes. No. They're all foot brakes.
It's a button.
Yeah, it's correct, a button. So they don't work when you're rolling. So yeah, if you can put it in neutral, that's the first thing you do.
Okay. Mm. David, our storyteller, did suffer some injuries as a result of the crash, but it could have been worse. Now, we had to ask him the question, though, that the driver who crashed that day, does she now pay more attention to the footwear that she wears when she's driving?
Is the driver more conscious of the footwear? I haven't actually been in a car with her again since. Would you believe? I've driven her places, but I haven't been in the car with her driving since the accident. That's just shocking. I don't know why. Actually, now that you mention it, it's been wearing shoes a lot more often into the office. So I guess that maybe lesson learned.
What do you reckon the driver's learnt here in this scenario? I mean, the thing for me is good footwear choice. I mean, if that had happened, it's very unlikely that this incident would ever have occurred. If you had a set of shoes that were unlikely to get caught, jammed, etc., in the pedal area, we wouldn't be having this episode today. We wouldn't be talking about it.
100%. But he wouldn't have a whiz-bang story to tell everyone either. And luckily he survived. So,
yeah.
But he learned his lesson, because he doesn't get her to take it at work anymore. So he learned his lesson, and she learned her lesson. By the sound of it, she's wearing more appropriate shoes around the office.
I wouldn't dive in the passenger seat with her either.
No.
Leads me to the whole point, right? I mean, are you guys aware when you're in the passenger seat? Do you find yourself increasingly, or do you switch off? Do you sort of go, oh, no, I'll leave it to the driver?
Depends on who's driving and how they, I suppose, do the first few hundred metres or the first little bit. You always monitor them in the start, but if they know what they're doing, I tend to just switch off. If they're not jerky on the wheel, if they're nice and smooth, and they're not dabbing the brake trying to, I don't know, do something, I don't know, but you can generally tell if they're managing their car correctly in the first few hundred metres.
David, you've given us some great messages for the audience today. I know that Supercars regularly does some things around road safety and messaging in that area. And I think even when the championship was in New Zealand in 2024, you announced that some of the drivers would be helping Greg Murphy with his program. He's been a guest in season one and so on. How important is that crossover? You're the heroes, the pinnacle, sort of on track, but sending the right message back to those who are out there on the road every day.
Yeah, it's super important, because I suppose at the end of the day, people look at us as the premier drivers of Australia and New Zealand. So, you know, we need to dispel our wisdom of how we manage our car and manage our situation, especially on the road, because generally most of us will not have crashes on the road. We won't have little incidents or anything like that, because we can manage our speed and the car's performance and everything on the road itself. So it's very, very important. We need sort of synergies like that from racing and on road, because it does send a really good message and really help people on the road. I love cars. I love driving. Yeah. It's one of the coolest things you ever do in your life, and most freeing, most independent things you do is when you get your license and, you know, you're away from mum and dad and you're by yourself and you got to learn all these things that, you know, it's a very dangerous thing to be partaking on the road these days. Like at high speed, even a crash at 60 Ks can be a fatal crash.
A fatal crash.
So when you're young, you don't know these things. And, you know, we need all these programs to really educate the young kids and educate even the older people today. Cause, you know, growing up, the drink driving campaign was like really washed, like really hard into my generation. And none of my friends do. None of my friends drink drive. I don't know anyone that's been driving, but it's still the older generation that grew up not with that messaging that they still drink drive. Mm. So you can sort of see in a few generations how quickly things can get washed out. Yeah.
Well done on what you're doing too with Curb the Rage. In the realm of things we're talking about on this podcast, that too is very important. So when you finish listening today, go and look that up, and best of luck when you talk to the politicians. And most importantly, Repco have been a good partner of ours in the first two seasons of this pod. They proudly support the Supercars Championship. Good luck in 2025, and thank you for coming on today.
No worries. Thanks very much for having me. That was all over real quick. I could have stayed here for like another hour, but my parking's running out, so I've got to go.
Thanks so much for coming on.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
On the next episode of Keep Your Wheels On, we're talking following distance.
He kind of slammed the brakes on really hard. I was way too close to him to actually stop in time.
And someone who knows a thing or two about a car's capabilities when following too close, James Stewart from Driving Solutions, joins us for a chat.
You look at the tail enders on the motorways, by the third or fourth car that involves in the accident, they haven't even touched the brake pedal.
I'm Rusty.
And I'm Lisa.
And this is Keep Your Wheels On. Keep Your Wheels On is a listener production brought to you in partnership with My Drive School. Hosted by me, Greg Rust, and Lisa Scaife. Audio production by Kelly Fulston. And executive producer is Todd Stevens.
A podcast funded by the Australian Government and supported by Repco Authorised Service. Listener.